بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, as we are all aware, we have now reached the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, what is known as the business end of the month of Ramadan. These are the moments, these are the nights in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat, Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's bounties, blessings are descending in torrents upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn from the ahadith also, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ لَنَفَحَاتٌ مِّن رَحْمَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within the Islamic calendar special moments, special times, special places, wherein He opens the floodgates of His rahmat and His mercy upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These different places, different times, the Haramain Sharifain, a person is standing in front of Baytullah, there is no doubt that his du'as are accepted. Likewise, we know on the day of Jumu'ah, especially between Asr and Maghrib time, a person's du'as are accepted. Then we have the 15th night of Sha'ban, which passed recently, a person's du'as are accepted. But the pinnacle, the climax of these special moments in the Islamic calendar is the month of Ramadan in these last 10 nights. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the Bani Israel, they had lengthy lifespans. Some of them would live up to 1,000 years. Sahaba radiallahu anhum found out about this. So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they complained that, O Nabi of Allah, Bani Israel, Allah gave them hundreds and thousands of years. And in these lives of theirs, they had so many chances and moments to earn rahmat of Allah, to do those a'mal, those actions of ibadat, which will earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have that amount of chance. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to console them that although this ummah will have the shortest lifespan, but this ummah will do those actions which will be completely accepted and rewarded in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah in His mercy has given us nights like Laylatul Qadr. The night of Qadr, the night of power, where a person will find it, he will exert himself, he will carry out those actions which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Then the promise of Qur'an is that the reward and the benefit that a person will get will be more than 1,000 months of ibadat. We know the businessman understands that when he comes to the December season, which is the peak season, then he knows within those 2 or 3 weeks, what I will make in this time I won't make throughout the year. So he understands how much I have to exert myself. Even his wife and children know that when our father comes home in the evening, he wants a hot meal, he wants to shower and go to bed. Nobody must trouble him. And we don't dare ask him to take us anywhere on the weekend also. Why? He puts his head down. He knows what he has to do. That tomorrow I have to wake up early, I have to open my shop, I have to ensure everything runs smoothly. This is the peak season. Likewise, ulama explained, this season now, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, this is our peak season. What a person will earn, what a person will do in these nights, in these moments, will carry him throughout the rest of the year. Ulama say, these are the moments where a person has to make deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the entire year my life has come out, perhaps away from the masjid, away from the deen of Allah, and I know how many commands of Allah that I broke, but now Allah has given me that opportunity. What I will do now, I will put brakes on my nafs, and those evil habits that I have been involved in, I will hold myself back. Although it is difficult, but I will push myself, I will exert myself. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me, that strength of iman, the taqwa, that connection with Him, will carry me the entire year. So these are the moments Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And we know from the start of the month of Ramadan till now, how much of a'mal we have made and how much we could have made. But then two ulama explain, naf'alu wa nastaghfiru. That this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will engage in a'mal, we will make an effort, we will try our best. Nashkuru, we will express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will thank Allah for whatever Allah has allowed us to do thus far. Whether it be reading half a para of Quran also, just 2 rakats of Nafil Salah, we will make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La in shakartum la azidannakum. Allah's promise is that person who will make shukr to me, he will be grateful for the opportunities I have given him. La azidannakum. Then definitely Allah says, I will give you an increase in your good a'mal and your good deeds. Wa nastaghfiru. And then we'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, that our actions are not worthy of being presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from the start of the month of Ramadan till now, respected brothers and elders, we have perhaps sat in many programs, we have heard different advices and different aspects about the month of Ramadan, different actions of ibadat to engage in. If a person just looks onto social media, how many du'as are sent on a daily basis? Different things a person can do in the month of Ramadan. But the question we have to ask ourselves, what have I done to bring it into my life, to make amal? This is the most important thing. Ulama have explained a person can make all the preparations, he has all the knowledge. But if he hasn't made an effort to bring it into his life, he will not become worthy in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example is given, that person who wants to visit some foreign country. So he does all the research and he purchases his ticket well ahead of time. He applies for his visa, he has his visa, his passport is up to date. And he packs his suitcases and his luggage well ahead of time also. He comes to the airport on the day of his departure. He's got his passport with him. He's prepared. He knows the weather also, he's packed accordingly. So he's done all the preparations beforehand. But when that boarding announcement or the boarding call is made, he doesn't want to wake up and join the queue. He says, I'm comfortable where I'm sitting on this bench, and I don't want to stand in that long queue, so that what will end up happening, the flight will leave, and he'll get left behind. Regardless of all his preparations, whatever he had done, he has all the travel brochures with him. He knows everything about that country, where he's going to go sightseeing, and the best places to eat, and the best hotels to stay in. But because he didn't make that final effort, he didn't get onto that plane, he has lost out completely. And then the second person is the person who books his ticket last minute. He hasn't made any preparations. He doesn't even know where he's going to stay when he gets there. But he has his ticket in his hand, his visa he gets on the way to the airport probably. But when he gets there, even though he doesn't have his luggage, he doesn't have his food with him, but he stands in that queue and he boards that flight. He gets onto that plane. So even though he hasn't made preparations, but he will reach his destination. So in the same way, ulama explained, whatever we have done thus far from the start of the month of Ramadan till now, put that behind us. Now we have to put that final push. Hazrat Mohinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would explain these last 10 nights. And especially the odd nights, each night is like a flight that is departing. And that flight will take off and leave. The final destination is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rahmat of Allah that we are looking for, the maghfirat of Allah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the barakat and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to make that effort to take that first step, to get onto that plane, to board that flight and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama say, we don't know which night will be Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his mercy upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has kept the exact date concealed. Because if we knew which night it was, then we'll exert ourselves on that night. And the remaining nights of the month of Ramadan, a person will while away his time. But Allah left it ambiguous that any time in the last 10 nights, specifically the odd nights. Why? So that a person exerts himself throughout these last 10 nights. It is just 10 nights Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking from us. That put your head down a little bit, make an effort, push yourself. We don't know in which 2 rakats of salah our maghfirat will be made. There's du'as we are making our entire lives. Person is asking for afiyat, for good health, for Allah to open his rozi. How many things we need that we are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. Ulama say we don't know which du'a it will be, which night it will be, which tear that a person sheds, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take pity upon us and Allah will make that decision for our forgiveness, for our maghfirah. So these moments Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, respected brothers and elders, for us to turn to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to recognize him, to understand who he is. That is why ulama explained that during these last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, one is that a person will search for Laylatul Qadr. And those in i'tikaf especially, this is one of the intentions that we should make. That we are here to search for Laylatul Qadr, to find that night. But more importantly, ulama explained, is to search for and to find the creator of Laylatul Qadr. For us to search for and to look for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get his pleasure. If one is a person has a credit card, so he says that I've got such a credit card, the bank has given me access to so many of their funds, that I can spend ₹1,000,000 on this credit card, nobody will ask a question. And then one is to befriend the owner of the bank. So then you won't need a credit card, you don't need anything, you have access to all the funds of that bank. Why? Because the owner or the manager is your friend. So one is to find Laylatul Qadr. Of course, this is a very virtuous night, and ibadat, a person will be rewarded so many times, and we hear all the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But more importantly, ulama say to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within our lives, each person knows his own life, that how many years have come out, waking up in the morning, getting dressed, having our breakfast, going to work, come home in the evening, whether we make it to the masjid or not, then we sit with the family a little bit, we go to bed again, this routine continues. Day in and day out, years and years are coming out, but there's no sukoon in my life. There's no itminan in my life, I've got no contentment. I'm searching for something. The person is restless. He doesn't know what's missing in his life. So ulama say we have to get that connection, that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then see the itminan and contentment that will come into a person's life, and will come into a person's heart. Now, regardless of the conditions around him, regardless of what he has or he doesn't have, but that person will be happy. He'll be content. He'll enjoy his life. And then he'll wait to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying to us, utlubni tajidni. Search for me, look for me, you will find me. The hadith sharif, utlubni tajidni, you will find me. In whatever it is around you, whether you look into your own body also, you will find me. Look at the bounties and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we heard tonight also, in Surah Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم. Think of Allah's blessings, Allah's favors upon you. How many a times we are so busy in our schedules, our daily lives, a person says, I have no time. No time to even take care of myself properly also. No time to spend with my children. No time to take my family out a little bit also. So Allah says, just press the pause button for a few moments in your busy schedule, your busy routine. Just take a few moments out and think of my favors and my bounties upon you. اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم. And really, if a person has to look, what aren't we enjoying from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our food, our clothing, and what type of food Allah has given us, the variety that a person we eat at iftar time, at sehri time, our homes, our cars, our family members, our limbs, the different senses and faculties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we know it is just one nerve that has to twitch, and a person wakes up in the morning, Allah protect, but his eyesight is gone. Or the usage of his legs are gone, his hands, he can't move. He can barely walk. He can't go to work. He can't do anything for himself. But Allah continues to give us, and to give us, and to give us. So Allah says, اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم. That remember, think of the bounties and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Here ulama explain just one simple example for us to understand the depth and the extent of the bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. In just one plate of food that we eat, now in the month of Ramadan, a person goes home after Maghrib Salah, and how he attacks that plate of food, that I haven't eaten for so many hours. He doesn't want to see anything else, he doesn't want to hear anything, he just wants to eat. That hot plate of food must be in front of me. Ulama say a person is eating perhaps some rice dish, for example. And how many times we just go straight into the food without even taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think how many favors of Allah are raining down upon me in this one plate of food. Ulama say that rice dish that you are eating, how many ingredients had to go into it? The rice had to be planted in some country in the world. And then somebody had to go and water the plants. And then they had to take care of the field. Eventually, when the time for harvesting was there, somebody had to go with some machinery. And they had to harvest those crops. And then it had to be taken into storage. From there it had to be packaged. And then it was put onto some ship. It was sent across the oceans. Finally it landed on our shores. And from there it went to the warehouse. Then the trucks came. They had to transport it on the highway. Eventually it finds its way to the retail store. We just go and buy it. And then two insan says, it's too difficult, so I'll buy it online. Just a few buttons I'll press. And that bag of rice lands in my home. The wife stands at the stove and she cooks that meal. An entire meal is placed in front of me. So just one ingredient in that plate of food. Look at the entire system Allah has created for insan. That my banda will eat. He'll get nourishment, he'll get strength, and he'll stand up in my ibadat. But my own condition is such that we eat these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get that strength, we get the energy, and then we disobey Allah. A person is eating that same plate of food, but he's sitting in front of the television screen. Or he's eating that plate of food, he gets that energy, and he goes to some avenue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. So in one plate of food, what bounties, what ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, ulama say we just have to step back a little bit from our busy schedules and routines, and just think what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me. That entire plate of food comes together. One is the rice, then we have the spices that are in there. Then there's meat that is in there. And so many different ingredients, entire industries behind it. Just for that plate of food to come to me, all I have to do is pick up that morsel and place it into my mouth. And then also, insan can't say, Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. We can't take the name of Allah before we commence eating. We finish that entire plate of food, we ask for a second round also. But there's no Alhamdulillah, there's no thanks to Allah, no shukr to Allah. So Allah is saying, think of my bounties, think of my favors and my blessings upon you, and then you will see me, then you will find me. Utlubni tajidni. And then the Hadith Sharif continues, in wajadtani wajadta kulla shay. Allah says, if you find me, then you have found everything. You don't need anything else. If you have got my muhabbat, my love, my closeness, you've got a relationship with me, then you have got everything. وَإِنْ فُتَّنِي فَاتَكَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. But if you don't find me, then you can have everything of this dunya, you can have all the creature comforts around you also. You can have the softest of beds and the softest of pillows, but you won't find sleep at night. You'll be tossing and turning, you're restless. The person who has how many shops also, but he's worried, nobody must break into that shop. The goods mustn't get stolen. I mustn't make a loss. The employees are troubling me. He has all these worries and concerns. Why? Because he hasn't found Allah. But in وَجَدْتَنِي وَجَدْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. You find me, you have found everything. That is why Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi would say also, he would repeat the couplets that agar tu mera to sab kuch meri. Oh Allah, if you become mine, if I find you and I get you in my life, then everything is mine. Zameen meri, asman mera. The skies are mine, the earth is mine. I have no worries anymore in my life because Allah is with me. Like how a person says, I have the president or I have the minister on speed dial. Anything happens, I just pick up the phone and he'll be there to assist me. He'll send his people. Like this, when the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will create that link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we'll have Allah, so to say, on speed dial, then Allah says, you won't have to worry about anything because you have me, you have the creator. So whatever it is that is troubling you, whatever concerns you have, whatever worries you have, I will take care of it for you. So, ya ayyuhan nas, uzkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. Allah says, think of my favors, of my bounties upon you. What haven't I given to you? Hal min khaliqin ghayru Allahi yarzuqukum min as-sama'i wal-ard. Allah says, is there any other creator, any other being who is providing for you from the skies and the earth, who is sustaining you, who is giving you everything that you have? La ilaha illahu. There is nobody else. It is only Allah who is giving us. فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. Then Allah laments. Allah asks the question, how are you being turned away? It's inconceivable when a person will think of the bounties of Allah and what Allah is giving me throughout my life that a person is turned away from Allah. And then Allah says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya, or rather, Allah addresses insan, ya ayyuhan nas, inna wa'dallahi haqq. That understand, O mankind, the promise of Allah is true. What Allah has said He will give you, He will give you. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Why are you allowing this dunya to deceive you? Why are you allowing the things around you to deceive you? Why are you allowing shaitan to deceive you? Here Allah says, Al-Gharur. Shaitan is gharur. He is that deceitful being. And then Allah tells us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Understand, I am telling you beforehand, shaitan is your sworn enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. O insan, you take shaitan as your enemy. Understand his position. And here ulama say, this is one of those instances in a person's life where he's supposed to have badgumani, where he's supposed to think ill of someone. Normally, we say badgumani is something that is not permissible. We shouldn't have evil thoughts about others. We should always think the best of them, think good of people. But here it is haram to think good of shaitan. Allah is telling us, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Understand that he is your sworn enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Shaitan's duty, shaitan's job, and that which he promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is he will take his group and his followers, and he will drag them with him into the fire of Jahannam. So Allah says, I want to save you from this. Why are you allowing yourself to be deceived? Why are you allowing yourself to be turned away? But rather think of my bounties, think of my favors upon you, and you won't get turned away. Then you'll understand, you'll want to come closer to me. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleading with insan, that just recognize me. Allah has given us our lives, respected brothers and elders, to recognize Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created insan, I have not created jinnat, except with one goal, one objective, that they gain my ma'rifat, my recognition, they recognize who I am, and that they engross themselves in my ibadat and my worship. This is what Allah has created us for. And Allah has given us our lives for this. Now Allah has given us these last 10 nights in the month of Ramadan, the night of Qadr, so that we can fulfill this objective and the purpose of our life. What ulama say is the maqsad of our life. And here also ulama say that This is a question we should ask ourselves. That have we made the niyat, the intention of our lives as yet? We know how many intentions and niyats insan has. That in the next few months, this is what I would like to do as far as my home is concerned, as far as my cars are concerned, as far as my family members are concerned. And I have this plan for my children or for my grandchildren possibly. In my life, this is where I want to be as far as my investments and my savings are concerned. So we have all of these different niyat and intentions. But have we made that intention of our life as yet? In which direction am I going? That the husband and the wife sit down together, the parents sit down with their children, and that entire household ask the question that in which direction are we going? That daily we wake up in the morning and we all leave home, we go and fulfill our different tasks and duties, and we come home in the evening, but where are we? What is our final destination? Where are we moving towards? Where are we heading towards? That are we earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it just routine, we're just continuing? We have a few goals in this worldly life that we want to achieve. Or do we really have our eye on that goal, on the goal of akhirat, the goal of jannat? That as we are seated here as a loving family today, the husband and wife, the children, we are enjoying a meal together. We don't want it to be restricted to this dunya. But we want to enjoy these moments and these meals and these times together in jannat also. So are we doing those amal and those ibadat is a family that will take us there. So have we made this niyyah, this intention of our life? Again, Allah has given us these nights to introspect and to ask ourselves in which direction is my life going. Just a few points, a few guidelines. If inshallah we will practice upon these for tonight and the remaining odd nights and the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, we don't have to do too much. But inshallah, just these few guidelines that we will practice upon, Allah will... We will see the benefit in our own lives, inshallah. Firstly, we find in many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have been encouraged to exert ourselves a little bit more than in the first 20 days of Ramadan. So each person knows his capacity, his capability, his strength, what he can manage. We do not need to compare ourselves to anybody. We do not have to look at somebody else that he has achieved so much and I can't get to what he has done. No. Each person... Compare ourselves to ourselves. What we have done in the first 20 days, if I have managed to read 5 pages of Quran daily, now 6, 7, 8 pages. So each person knows when he will be pushing himself and how to exert himself. So we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what level of ibadat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in. Just for us to take some courage, some himmat. That when he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Quran says, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven your past sins and your future sins. Everything is ma'af. Of course, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was ma'asum. He was not going to disobey Allah. But every error of yours also, every mistake you may have made, Allah has made it ma'af already. Your place in Jannatul Firdaus is guaranteed. Your maqam on the day of Qiyamah is guaranteed. Yet, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would stand up for salah at night, then his mubarak feet would become swollen. Now this we have heard many times before. But to put ourselves into the picture to try and understand it, we just stood up for 20 rakats of taraweeh salah. And we know, as we have reached this point in the month of Ramadan, in the beginning we start with a lot of energy, a lot of vigor and excitement, the month of Ramadan has come. But as we reach the middle of the month of Ramadan, once we get to that 14th, 15th, 16th rakat, how our legs start to pain. Now we're hoping the Imam Sahib breathes quickly, or that his part is short and the Taraweeh can finish as quickly as possible. And that is here in our country where the Taraweeh is relatively short. But yet we know the amount of difficulty and how sore our feet are by the time the 20th rakat is over. We're hoping the Witr Salah also is quick. And those who have gone for Umrah, Haramain, Sharifain in the month of Ramadan, Allah take us all over and over again, and have stood for Taraweeh Salah day in Haramain Sharifain, where two and a half hours of Taraweeh Salah, even though the recitation is so enjoyable, a person wishes to continue listening, but he says, I wish I can sit down. Because my feet are paining, I can't handle it. Especially if a person has just performed Umrah, he made Tawaf, he made Sa'i, and now he has to stand up for Taraweeh Salah, he can't handle it. Yet, throughout all of this difficulty, all of this taklif, not one day when we left the masjid after Taraweeh Salah, and we found that my shoes are not fitting because my feet have become swollen. All of us, inshallah, we put on our shoes nicely, comfortably, and we went home. And we forgot about that pain after 5 minutes. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can imagine the level of exertion, the level of his ibadat, how long he must have stood for his mubarak feet to swell, and under what conditions, what circumstances. Now, for a few seconds, we travel back in time. When the light switched off, we travel back in time to the days of Madinah Munawwara, where Masjid al-Nabawi was also in total darkness. And there, there was no generator or no solar power to kick in, that now once again, even if there's load shedding, we'll have lights. But complete darkness. The floor wasn't carpet, but hard stones and sand. And then to Hassan Basri rahimahullah, he explains that as a young boy growing up in Madinah Munawwara after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away, he says, as a young boy, I would run through the homes of the Azwaj Mutahharat. I would play in their homes and I would run through their homes. And he says, as a youngster, when I would stand in that room of Aisha radiallahu anha, if I stretch my hands out to either side, I would touch the walls on both sides. If I had to lift my hand up, my hand would touch the ceiling. This was the size of the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha says, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was performing tahajjud salah, if he wanted to make sajda, he would have to tap my feet. That, oh Aisha, move your feet so I have space to make sajda. But in that cramped up room in Madinah Munawwara, what du'as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made for you and I. How he exerted himself. And this was his ibadat, ulama say, throughout the year. Then when the month of Ramadan came, he took it to the next level. And the last 10 nights, then the Hadith Sharif says, Jadda. Nabi alayhi salam exerted himself, he pushed himself. وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَرِ. Now, he cut off all contact and communication with those who he didn't need to speak to. Now he put himself into isolation, into seclusion. Now I am dedicating myself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us to exert ourselves, to push ourselves on these nights, as we mentioned, we do not need to compare ourselves to anybody else. But each person knows. If a person is sitting or he is performing tahajjud salah or nafil salah, the time will come where he feels, I have done enough. Now I'm tired, I have work tomorrow. Push ourselves just a little bit more. 5 minutes more. Just 2 more rakats. We're reading Quran Sharif and we become tired. Just a few more pages. When an amal is done, ulama explain with sifatin mujahada, where a person is making that qurbani, the sacrifice, is pushing himself, those amal are the amal upon which Allah will give us. Then those decisions will be made for our rahmat and our maghfirat, our forgiveness. So firstly, that we exert ourselves, we push ourselves. And then secondly, ulama explain that together with the different acts of ibadat that the person will engage in and he'll carry out throughout these nights, we have our Quran tilawat, we have our tahajjud salah, we have dua. But more than that, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see is for us to express regret and remorse over our gunas and sins. Allah wants to see this from us. What the mashayikh would say, ashka nadamat, the tears of regret. That a person has that feeling of remorse within his heart. That what Allah has given me, what I could have done, and what I did with my life. So for us to express ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ulama say, not that a person wants to remember his past, but when we are making dua in seclusion, in privacy, we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recount our gunas and sins. That I did this, and I did this, and I did this, oh Allah, you make me maaf for you. Ulama say, each guna a person does, a black dot forms on the heart. And we have to make tawbah, we have to ask Allah to forgive us for that dot to be removed. If the heart is not clean, then that heart can never enter the gardens of Jannah. So Allah wants to see us express that regret, that remorse over our gunas and sins. One incident, just for us to take some inspiration. There was a person, a youngster, who was from one of the towns, the outlying towns of the greater Durban area. He passed away, now Allah make his maghfirat for his qabr with noor. But he was a drug addict and he is completely addicted. His parents had tried everything. They had sent him to rehab after rehab, counseling after counseling, and tried this treatment and that treatment, but nothing was working with this youngster. Eventually his own parents got fed up with him. The community got tired of him, as though everybody had lost hope in him. But the ajeeb and amazing thing about this youngster is that during the month of Ramadan, the moment that Hilal for the month of Ramadan was sighted, he would become completely clean and sober. He wouldn't touch his drugs and his bottle for the rest of the month. And the moment that day of Eid came again, he was back to it. And this continued for years. So when Alim asked him that, explain to me, how is it that the entire year you can't give that thing up? You are stuck in it, your own parents are shouting you and kicking you out of the house, but you don't want to give it up. But when the month of Ramadan comes, how is it to just give it up so easily? So he says, the month of Ramadan, I've heard the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I stand up in two rakats of nafil salah at night, Allah gives me that high already. So I don't need the drugs, I don't need the bottle to find that high. And he says, in those nights when I cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that feeling that goes through my heart, I can't get it elsewhere. Whatever drug I try, whatever drink I try, I can't get that feeling. So Allah wants to see us cry over our gunas and sins. That same youngster, Allah made it such muqaddar, in the month of Ramadan, after making tawbah, Allah took away his life. So he left this world in that condition, Allah make his complete maghfirat. But imagine if he had lost hope. If he had given up and said, I can't get to where I'm supposed to be, and this is my life, I'm stuck in these gunas and sins. Year after year I'm trying, and year after year I'm falling again. But he didn't lose hope. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He expressed that regret and remorse over his gunas and sins, and how Allah opened up the way for him. So Allah wants to see us cry over our sins. That's why the Hadith Sharif says, a person cannot cry, then he must act as though he's crying. And here in dunya, when a person says something to you, or he makes some promise to you, like how a person is driving, and we see those who are begging on the side of the road. And sometimes, what stories will give? That I've got an elderly mother, she's got no shelter, and I've got these young children, they haven't eaten for so many days. And he may start crying also. And even if a person feels moved by whatever is being said, but still in the heart there's that little bit of doubt, that I think maybe he's catching me out. Maybe he's not sincere. But never mind, I'll give him something. But ulama say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, so to say, clean-hearted. That even if you act as though you're crying, Allah knows you're not crying. But act as though you're crying, I'll take pity on you and I'll forgive you. So Allah wants to see us express that regret, that remorse, when we are making dua to Allah in the dead of night, cry before Allah. And express our regret that my life I have wasted. Those moments that you have given me, the opportunities you have given me, and the chances you gave me to find you, to make your ibadat, I have not used it to the best of my ability. And I ask Allah to give us that strength and that energy. So this is the second thing, that more than the ibadat is to have that ruh and the spirit of the ibadat behind us. That we cry over our gunas and sins and we really connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, the last guideline for us on these nights, we find the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was shown in a dream the exact night of Laylatul Qadr, which night in the last 10 nights it will fall on. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, in a state of excitement and joy, he comes out of his room and he is about to inform Sahaba radiallahu anhum of this glad tiding that Allah has shown me the night of Qadr. And he comes across two individuals who are arguing with one another. Some discussion had turned heated and they were arguing outside the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he sees this, his mind turns and the exact date of Laylatul Qadr is taken away from him. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam becomes upset and he says to Sahaba radiallahu anhum that Allah had shown me the night of Qadr and I was about to inform you and tell you of the exact date. But because of these two people who were fighting and arguing, Allah took away this knowledge from me. So now the ummah will have to search for it. So this is the ill effect of arguments when people will get together in the last 10 nights, ulama explain, now is the time for us to cut off as much as possible. The original i'tikaf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to go in seclusion. That a person is completely in seclusion, he cuts himself off from everybody, and now he turns and devotes his time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These programs that we are having is because of our own weakness. That I know my own condition, if I have to be left to make ibadat on my own, then once we leave the masjid, we know what happens thereafter. But the original sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to devote ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the less that we can mix with people, once we start conversations and discussions and then backbiting starts, before we know it, somebody says something, somebody else gets upset, and we get into some argument, and this takes away all the barakat and anwarat of these last 10 days. So these few guidelines we can practice upon, inshallah. And the main thing is that we should not be involved in any guna and sin. Even if we do not do so much of nafil ibadat, even if we are not reading so much of Quran, or so much of salah, or so much of dua, but at least we must not get involved in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important thing. If a person cannot stay awake the whole night, then no problem. Go home and go to bed. Read your du'as. Go to bed with the intention of waking up for sehri, for tahajjud, for fajr, salah. At least we will not be involved in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We make du'a inshaAllah. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا ذا القوة المتين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان يا حليم يا كريم O my most forgiving Allah, most merciful Allah, most kind Allah, Most compassionate Allah, most tolerant Allah. O my Allah, we have raised our hands up before you on this Mubarak night in the month of Ramadan, O my Allah. Despite us being undeserving and worthy, O my Allah, you brought us into your house, O my Allah. You allowed us to stand up in Taraweeh, Salah, O my Allah. You allowed us to listen to the words of your Rasul, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O my Allah. O my Allah, we know how unworthy, undeserving we are, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we make shukr to you for all your bounties and favors upon us, O my Allah. For the lives you have given us, for our limbs and our faculties, O my Allah. For our food and clothing, our wives and children and families, O my Allah. For our businesses and shops, O my Allah. O my Allah, day and night we are drowning in your bounties and favors, O my Allah. And most of all for the ni'mat, the gift of Iman, of Islam, O my Allah. O my Allah, you allowed us to place our foreheads before you, O my Allah. You allowed us to take your name, O my Allah. You didn't make us bow down to some idol or some other being, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you didn't leave us in some temple, some synagogue, some church, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you blessed us with this ni'mat and gift of Iman, O my Allah. O my Allah, we make shukr to you from the bottom of our hearts, O my Allah. Preserve our Iman, O my Allah. O my Allah, preserve our Iman. Right till maut, O my Allah, allow us to leave this world with Iman, O my Allah. O my beloved Allah, we have come to you, O my Allah. We have raised our hands before you tonight, my Allah. Ya Allah, you know what our condition is, my Allah. You know the skeletons in our closet, O my Allah. O my Allah, you know those evil habits that we are struggling to give up, my Allah. Ya Allah, you know those gunas and sins that we are involved in, O my Allah. Ya Allah, that which nobody else knows, you know, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we can hide from our wives, Ya Allah. We can hide from our children, my Allah. We can hide from our communities, O my Allah. O my Allah, we can't hide from you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have come to make iqrar, my Allah, to confess our gunas and sins before you, my Allah. O my Allah, we are regretful over our lives, O my Allah. Ya Allah, all your bounties and blessings you gave us, my Allah, we used it against you, my Allah. Ya Allah, you gave us food to eat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we got that strength and we disobeyed you, my Allah. Ya Allah, you gave us our eyes to look at our halal spouses, we looked at haram, my Allah. You gave us our ears to listen to Quran, we opened our ears to music, my Allah. Ya Allah, you gave us our feet to walk to the masjid, we walked to those places of vice and sin, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, every bounty of yours we used in your disobedience, my Allah, still you gave us, my Allah. Still you continue to give us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us, my Allah. Forgive us, O my Allah. Forgive us for our gunas and sins, my Allah. Those sins we committed knowingly, those sins unknowingly. Ya Allah, those sins that nobody else knew about, Ya Allah. Forgive us completely, O my Allah. Ya Allah, make our complete and total maghfirat, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have heard in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are afu, O my Allah. You dearly love to forgive the sins of your slaves, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have come with bucket loads of gunas and sins, my Allah. With all our shortcomings and weaknesses in your court, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you make our maghfirat, my Allah. Ya Allah, wipe our slates clean, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we heard in Quran that those people who will do three things, then you will turn their evil deeds into good deeds, O my Allah. Those who have Iman and good A'mal,
and they make tawbah and they ask you to forgive them, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we are seated here tonight with iman, O my Allah. We believe in you, O my Allah. We believe in your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we have engaged in taraweeh salah, my Allah. Ya Allah, we sat in your house, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we have tried to do some good amal, my Allah. Ya Allah, now we are turning to you in tawbah, my Allah. We are asking you to forgive us, O my Allah. Only you have the ability to change our evil into good, O my Allah. O my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, those evil habits that are blocking our relationship with you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you know how we are trying to get rid of it, my Allah. Ya Allah, years and years of our lives have come out in your disobedience like this, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we are about to lose hope, my Allah. Then we read, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. La tayasu min ruhillah. Ya Allah, you told us not to lose hope in your mercy, my Allah. Ya Allah, you told us, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Ya Allah, you told us that you forgive sins, my Allah. Ya Allah, you told us that you will pull your slaves close to you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you on this Mubarak night, O my Allah, in the month of Ramadan, seated in your house, O my Allah. Ya Allah, through your quality of jazb and pull us towards you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, if you will pull us into your mercy, no one can pull back, O my Allah. Ya Allah, if you will give us, who can take it back, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, when you make a decision, no one can question you, O my Allah. No one can oppose you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, despite us being undeserving and unworthy, make the decision of our hidayat, O my Allah. Ya Allah, let this Ramadan be the turning point in our life, O my Allah. Ya Allah, every year we raise our hands before you, O my Allah. We make promises to you, O my Allah, and we break those promises. Still you continue to give us, my Allah. Ya Allah, you never took away our eyesight, my Allah. You never took away our hearing, my Allah. Ya Allah, you never took away all the ni'mas and bounties that you have given us, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are too weak to bear your tests, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't take away your bounties and blessings from us because of our disobedience, O my Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in your ni'mat, O my Allah. Take us in your ni'mat, O my Allah. Increase us in goodness, O my Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many who are sick and ailing, so many who have requested dua, my Allah. Ya Allah, people suffering from chronic illnesses, my Allah. There are those who the doctors have given up hope, my Allah. There are those who they have said, you've got a few days to live. Oh, my Allah, from your khazana and treasure, give them complete shifa, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, restore them back to full health, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, give them back their energy, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, you know what goes through their hearts, my Allah. The hearts of their families, their wives, their children. Oh, my Allah, those hearts which are broken, oh, my Allah, you patch those hearts, my Allah. Ya Allah, those who are suffering from debt, my Allah, you open up their rozi for them from halal avenues, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make it such that they can pay their debts in a quick span of time, oh, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, those who are going through any other difficulties, those homes where there are marital issues, my Allah, you patch up the hearts, oh, my Allah. Create muhabbat and love between spouses, between parents and children, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, those whose children are disobedient, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bring them back to you, make them the coolness of their parents' eyes, oh, my Allah. Oh, my beloved Allah, Ya Allah, protect us, O my Allah. Protect our families, O my Allah. Our wives and children, our grandchildren. Ya Allah, our relatives, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Throughout the ummah, wherever there is difficulty, O my Allah. Ya Allah, so many places in the world, there are wars taking place. There is so much of poverty, O my Allah. People barely have one kajur to eat for iftar, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we are eating so much here, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, not one day we lifted up our hands to thank you, my Allah. Ya Allah, you remove, change those conditions, my Allah. Wherever the ummah is suffering, blow your winds of mercy, my Allah. Ya Allah, those young children are starving, my Allah. They don't know where the next meal is going to come from, my Allah. Ya Allah, take pity upon them, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, take pity upon them, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, wherever the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, wherever in the world, whichever part of the world, Ya Allah, blow your winds of mercy upon them, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, make this Ramadan a good Ramadan for them, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, protect al-Masjid al-Aqsa, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, protect the people of Masjid al-Aqsa, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us that realization that it is our gunas and sins that cause these conditions to come down, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, protect those people who are standing up and defending Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa on our behalf, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, protect Haramain Sharifain, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, accept the umrah of all those who have gone to Haramain Sharifain, accept their tawaf, accept their ziyarat, accept their duas. Ya Allah, throughout the world, wherever the programs are taking place, Ya Allah, you accept these programs, by Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have raised their hands to ask of you, Ya Allah, fulfill their jais, hajat and desires, O my Allah. O my Allah, you know what are the desires within the heart of each and every one of us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, there are those things that we cannot even put into words, O my Allah, but you know the cry of the heart, O my Allah. Ya Allah, without asking, you can give us also, O my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill our desires and our needs, O my Allah. Ya Allah, make us completely mustaghni, independent. Don't let us need to turn to anyone else, O my Allah. O my Allah, give us tawfiq, Ya Allah, of making the most of these last 10 nights of Ramadan. Ya Allah, allow us to find Laylatul Qadr, O my Allah, and all the promises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, allow our maghfirah to be made, O my Allah, so that when the month of Ramadan is over, our hearts are pure and clean, O my Allah. Oh my Allah, grant us all the goodness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for. All the evil he asked protection from, protect us from it, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we have forgotten to ask, whatever we didn't know how to ask, Ya Allah, that too you answer and accept, oh my Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.